The Afternoons with Joy podcast is presented by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Hey, friend, it's Joy. Welcome to a very special episode of the Afternoons with Joy podcast. I'm joined today by author Jelana Goble, and she has a brand new book out, A Love Stretched Life. But the reason that I wanted to talk to Jelana is because she has become a mother every possible way. She's had babies, she's fostered babies, she's adopted children of all ages, and she actually is willing to share from what she calls the messy middle. And I think not a lot of people are willing to do that. We like to talk about how God came through for us after a really hard season. But she said it's important in the middle of the hard season to reveal what God is doing, to reveal the hard stuff. And as a mom myself who is considering what it would look like to adopt, I wanted to know, tell me the good, the bad, the ugly. And if you want to be a mother in any shape or form, she has advice for you. She really speaks to encourage foster and adoptive parents. And she talks about what it's like to deal with trauma. And my favorite part that we'll get to about three-fourths of the way through is she said, we need to let go of the myth that love is enough. You need to do your homework and know you're not a superhero. You're a finite being. And it's hard to be a parent when you don't know the challenges that your child is going to have, adopted, fostered, or born naturally. You just don't know. And so she talks about how to find help on the journey, how to lean into your faith, and how to work through the reality that love does not solve everything. And I think as a new mom, I sometimes think that if I can just love my kids enough, everything will turn out perfect or at least fine. And that's not always the case, but God still reveals beauty in the difficulty. And so that's her story. She's going to share it with us today. And I know you're going to find encouragement with it. And you're probably going to leave feeling less alone. So here's my conversation with Jelana Goble. I am here with Jelana Goble, and she has a brand new book called A Love Stretched Life. I'm so grateful you'd be with us, girl. This is stories of wrangling hope, embracing the unexpected, and discovering the meaning of family, which are all powerful things. We are so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks so much, Joy. I'm happy to be with you.
You're like a super mom, okay? Because you're a mom of five through foster care, birth, and adoption. So I feel like almost any way that you can become a mother, you've experienced. And one of the ways that you've talked about your book influencing people is you talk about things from the messy middle. And I'm like, I feel that, but I don't think I really know what the messy middle is. So can you talk about what that means and why you feel like it's important to share from that place?
I would love to. Honestly, I think there are so many contexts, especially in like faith contexts, where we feel more compelled to share when there's kind of a more acceptable, palatable bow, you know, labeled God's faithfulness tied around a really hard situation.
Yeah.
And there are times when we can all see that and exclaim like, wow, look at this. But I think that there's a lot of vulnerability to be had that other people can lean into and draw courage from. Other folks and moms talking about like what it looks like when there's not a lot of those like, oh, look what has been done here moments. A lot of moments where it's like, okay, well, I'm plodding along and I wish that this was linear, but I feel like my life is kind of resembling more of like a scribble right now than like a linear line, you know?
Yes, forward and back.
Yes. And I just feel like that is where I feel like I have grown so much as a person. You know, I occupy a lot of different roles as a wife and as a daughter and as a nonprofit founder and as an employer and, you know, da, 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 da. But I really feel like through my role as a mom, Joy, that is where I have been most impacted. That is where I have been invited on many of life's detours that have ended up changing the lens through which I see the world and the lens through which I see my faith.
That's the most beautiful way to say it's the hardest of all the roles. That was the most beautiful way to be like, it's where things got real. Like stuff hits the fan.
Right. And I think that that's the beauty is to be able to say it's hard and I'm not going to sugarcoat and I'm not going to try to convince you that it's not hard or that it's like shinier than it is or all the things. And yet hard and worthy are not mutually exclusive, right?
Oh.
Sometimes the most worthy things are some of the most difficult things. And I think that's, you know, you could put that like welcome to parenthood, right?
Yes. I needed to hear that. I think it's so hard. we often expect things to be a certain way. We just talked about this before we started the recording, but you offer encouragement for women who say, I thought it was going to look one way and it doesn't. And so can you tell me a moment in motherhood for you? Maybe it's a moment that you've shared in the book that things weren't like what you hoped they would be, and the reality was different, and then how you handled it.
That is such a good question. I feel like I have several examples. One example is our very first child in foster care, Joy. We welcomed, my husband and I were in our mid 20s. We were like babies. And before we had biological kids, we welcomed a first grader in foster care and had the privilege of parenting him for a year. It was a deep dive into just the selflessness that parenthood requires, like all the things, you know?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about you had never had to care full time for a little person. And now you have this first grader.
Right. Who comes with trauma, right? Because kids don't end up in foster care for no reason and all the things. And we just really loved him. And through a series of circumstances, which A Love Stretch Life talks about, he was moved to a different home. We lost touch with him for 13 years.
And oh, just that is heartbreaking.
Ago, as a young man, reconnected with him. That's royal. So that has been definitely a moment in parenthood that has encouraged me to lean into the unexpected, is what it looks like to have known this person that's now a young man as a little boy and to relive into the role of being mom. Like, he didn't call me mom.
Wow.
He called me Miss Jelana as a first grader. And now as a 24-year-old man, he calls me mom, and his family actually moved across the country to live near us for a time in Portland just to, you know, really be a family. So that's one area that I've been kind of invited to like pivot into, because there's no textbook, right? Like,
No. Okay,
you parent a child in first grade and then you meet him as he's practically a parent himself.
And you get to know him and you re-enter
that role. Where's
the
textbook for that?
No.
A second thing that I talk about in A Love Stretch Life that has been like really leaning into the unexpected is we said yes to a beautiful 6-month-old baby in foster care 13 years ago. And I met his amazing first mom at a juvenile court. I'd never had the privilege of engaging with a biological parent before as a foster mom. And it just was this journey into the unexpected. I offered her a photograph of her 6-month-old baby at court and she burst into tears. And I found myself completely unexpectedly saying, I just want to let you know, I am going to parent him with everything I have so that when I return him to you, the bond between you two is strong. And we were like hugging each other. And I said, I just want to let you know, I'm rooting for you. Well, I'm rooting for you kind of came the label over the next, you know, 13 years. We've lived 13 years, kind of journeying alongside each other. I ended up adopting her child and we have continued on in relationship. And that's also explored in the Love Stitch Life that I feel like Jennifer, we actually share our stories collectively.
That's so powerful because it's rare.
It is rare. And we want it to not be so rare. It's been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of twists and turns, as you can imagine. But two mamas kind of coming together for the sake of loving one little boy and trying to figure out, how do we do this thing? It's another parenthood journey that hasn't had a textbook to consult, right? So that has been really influential for me, Joy. And then I guess the third kind of main narrative that I would say in terms of living into the unexpected is our son, Charlie. He's 10 years old. Ugh, I love him so much. And he was our phone call that just said, can you pick up a little baby from the hospital that needs a foster home for 48 hours? And we said, yes.
Of course.
Now our 10-year-old son. And
see the unexpected.
The unexpected. So I think Charlie is one of my life's greatest teachers, Joy, in that he has we didn't know it at the time and we didn't know it until years after his adoption finalized, but he has a brain-based disability called fetal alcohol syndrome. And it is a disability that impacts his every moment of his every day of his life and our life. And there's many kind of unquantifiable ripple effects that come from that. And so, we've been invited to pivot from what we thought, I honestly thought, and I explore this in A Love Stretch Life, that I was going in kind of like easy breezy, like, oh, I don't have any expectations for motherhood, like expectations. And then you quickly realize, oh, wait, there's a lot of unnamed expectations that I just thought this was going to be the way it was going to be until it's not.
Yeah, you don't know until suddenly you're upset and you're like, why am I upset? Oh, I thought it would look a certain way.
Totally. That's exactly right. So I feel like through those three narratives, they all are not like this one time that I had to work through this, like one, specific instance. It feels like it's a continual unfolding, really, mm-hmm. of like how life has invited me to embrace the unexpected in the best of ways. But I feel like proximity to those different from me, Royal and his story, Jennifer and her story, Charlie and the way in which he sees the world, have profoundly shaped the lens through which I see the world. You know?
Yeah, so, I think we're all probably very jealous of the lens you've developed. And that's why we want to like read your book and understand it. But I think none of us would be like, put me there in the hard times it took to get there, girl. Like, nobody wants to live the hardest parts of the stories, but I like that you're giving us that range to be like, it created beauty.
Just taking a quick second to interrupt this podcast to tell you about our amazing sponsor, United Faith Mortgage. Think for a second about what you could do with a little more money every single month. Things are so expensive right now that I've been going to Costco and buying my son's diapers in bulk. I'm trying to find the right gas stations to go to save a few cents every single gallon. We're being smart in every area of our lives financially, but maybe not with your mortgage. This could be a great time for you to refinance and just find out what your monthly payment could be with United Faith Mortgage. In fact, my husband and I looked into it in 2020, decided it wasn't the right time for us financially, and then went through with it in 2021. And United Faith Mortgage gave us a great experience because they have this direct lender advantage, which means there's no middleman. And that can often save you monthly and lifelong money. More money every single month could help your family this summer. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Just find out what United Faith Mortgage could do for you by going to UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Now back to my conversation with Jelana Goble. So I was curious if you could speak to hope, because we all want it, but it doesn't come easily. And your story, I think, gives hope to people who are in the really messy middle. I mean, it's not like your life is perfect right now, but what would you say to somebody who is struggling to hold on to hope because their family is in a messy situation right now, or they feel like such a mess themselves?
That is such a good question, Joy. And a few years ago, I actually was invited to be a speaker at a conference for foster and adoptive moms where the theme was hold on to hope.
Wow.
And I was like, am I a fraud? Can I do this? Because like, I'm struggling right now.
We always talk about imposter syndrome, Becca and I do, that we're like, that's one of those tools the enemy uses, that you're like, this isn't him. And you're like, oh snap. Like all the time we're like, am I worthy to have a microphone? Am I worthy to do any of these things?
And like, you are.
Exactly. We all are. And so I just find it so relatable that you would tell us that. I always am like, am I a fraud?
Well, you know, I think what was so, I share a story in the Love Stretch Life about actually getting the hope that I needed to see and having like a physical reminder of it by buying the letters HOPE and nailing them up on my staircase so that I was like, I just need to like hold on to it. But when I was trying to decide if I was going to, you know, speak at the conference for holding on to hope, one of my kids had cast his fishing pole pretending to go fishing down the stairs and it knocked the pee off. So we were like walking up and down to the stairwell that said the inspiration of hope. And I was like, okay, this just says it all. Like, I can't even keep my hope on a wall. Maybe this is a sign, you know?
Forget the hope. We just got the hoe. That's it.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think so much is like sharing, like I said, like not waiting to say, okay, I'm only going to share and I'm only going to be able to share about hope when I'm on the shiny, shimmery side of whatever struggle I'm on.
Because sometimes that doesn't come. You know what I mean? Like sometimes
it doesn't come.
It's not a part of our story.
That's true. And I celebrate when it is, and I celebrate that in other people. But you're right, Joy. Like it's not always a part of the story. So I really feel like we can lean in and we can borrow other people's hope. And a lot of times it's like, okay, you know what? We're not living the same story, but I'm sure there are things that you're going through right now that if I can just lean in and press in and see how you're engaging and you're putting one foot in front of the other courageously, it's probably not going to feel courageous, but you know, like that can be a sacred holy act, just putting one foot in front of the other. And I'm going to see where you're searching for God in the midst of this. And I'm going to lean in and I'm going to borrow your hope. And I talk about, you know, hope doesn't have to be this rainbow. Like we see it as this big symbol, but it can be a little tiny pebble sitting on this very rocky, gravelly path, and we can lean down and we can pick up the little pebble and we can hold on to it and say, for today, this is hope. And so I think that that's really the offering, is not this like, welcome to the 10 steps of how you can have hope, you know, in 7 days.
But that would be great. Really like,
that would be great. We'd all buy that book. But I think that there's not a authenticity that comes with kind of an appetizer sized bite of hope, right?
Like, yeah,
it's gritty. We just have to stand there. Mm-hmm. And we have to receive, and we have to, I honestly think that we can share hope, even from the messy middle, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people can't relate to the shiny side of like, well, that was hard, but now I'm on the other side and look at me. I think a lot of the hope that we can borrow from others comes from our very vulnerable middle spots.
That's so good. And I think that aligns with scripture. Like, God doesn't say that he's going to give us like an appetizer size bite of hope. He says that like, I will give you what you need for today, and tomorrow mm-hmm. will deal with itself. We'll get there, you know, which is, yes. It's hard, because I'm sometimes like, God, just like make it a positive day, like make the problems right. go away. And he's like, that's not necessarily what's going to build your faith, which is what he's after, right?
Right. Well, and I think it's just, it's hard to live in today. It mm-hmm. really is. We're so future oriented. And again, like I thought I didn't have any expectations about what family life was going to, kind of the dailiness of family life is going to look like, until it didn't look like that. And I realized, oh my gosh, I really did have mm-hmm. expectations. So how do I let go of those unnamed expectations and lean in to where I am now? And what can I learn for today? And what can I grab onto for today?
That's so what we need. And I don't know if there's someone who's listening is considering fostering or considering adopting. I know adopting is something huge on my heart, but it's also nerve-wracking because I don't know much about it. And so we know that God talks about taking care of widows and orphans. He just talks about that. That's what it looks like to live out our faith. So can you tell me about that decision in your early 20s to become foster parents? And then what would you say to somebody who's considering that?
Right after college, I lived at an orphanage in Guatemala for a while. That was hugely shaping. My husband later kind of came, we later lived in Guatemala for a point in time. But really, we kind of naively asked the question on the way back from Guatemala back to the States of like, well, where are the vulnerable children here? And that led us straight to the doors of foster care. I mean, you swim upstream from any kind of social hot button issue, whether it's a substance abuse or incarceration or domestic violence or untreated mental illness, right?
Yes.
And you ask the question, where do children go when there is not a safety net for a myriad of reasons around that family and they have no one? The answer is foster care.
Yes.
And for my husband, Luke, and I, we didn't grow up doing foster care. We didn't know anyone personally, to our knowledge, that was impacted by foster care, that we didn't know any foster parents. So it really was kind of this question of like, where do children go? Oh, they go into foster care. Let's sign up to become foster parents in our mid-20s. So that answers the question of how we got into foster care. What I would share is for those considering foster care and adoption, there can be the idea of what something is, and then there can be the lived reality. And we celebrate when those ideas are aligned with the reality, but oftentimes, like we've talked about, they're just not. And so I would really encourage anyone considering foster care or adoption to intentionally seek out those that have lived this journey and to ask them about their experience. I think that is one of the biggest gifts we can give people to discern well, is to talk about what it's like with boots on the ground, mm-hmm. knowing that every family's journey is going to be different. Every child they welcome is going to be different. My story is not going to be your story if you embark on this. And it's certainly, you know, it's not all sunshine and roses and it's not all doom and gloom, but we do need to talk about the continuum, because it can go from this to that. And, you know, how do we live in the messy middle, and how are we prepared for the trauma and the loss that comes with foster care? But I think many people are also sometimes surprised to know that adoptions, even adoptions of infants, oftentimes are rooted in loss, a loss mm-hmm. that child may feel down the road, that's kind of in the marrow of their bones, even if they yes. can't articulate it. So I think folks really need to do their homework on trauma, because I think oftentimes there's a propensity, especially in faith communities, to kind of have it be a little bit formulaic, Joy, to say mm-hmm. like, okay, well, the right amount of like love and nurture and discipline and structure plus Jesus equals clean slate, no trauma, let's go, you know, and that's just not the reality.
That is so true.
You know, we can offer so much with like a well-intentioned heart, but that doesn't necessarily mean that what we're offering will be received because of a myriad of circumstances, mm-hmm. especially those, you know, especially kids that have experienced, drugs or alcohol in utero, for example. Like that's not something that you can nurture, discipline, and structure out of them, right? Like it's just like, this is a different, we're on a different parenting path. We need to engage our kids with love and compassion, but we need to let go of the myth that love is enough, that love is enough to get us through. We have to let go of that. We have to humble ourselves to do our own homework, mm-hmm. to understand our own triggers, to know that like, we're not superheroes. We're finite beings. They're just going to be unexpected things that will come up that we'll have chances to learn about ourselves because mm-hmm. we might be surprised by our own reactions to things at times.
That's how I feel just as a mom in general. I've been like, oh wait, I have anger. And someone told me that like, you learn how selfish you are when you become a wife and you learn how, angry you can be when you become a mother, because certain things can really bring that out. And it's like, oh snap, I need God to refine this out of me. This is a lot. Yeah. It's hard.
This is a lot.
Yes, that's so exactly. It. So if someone's listening and they're like, okay, I don't feel called to be a foster parent or to adopt, but there's always foster families in our communities, maybe even in our churches, what would you say is a good way to help and love on those families? Because one of my girlfriends is entering the process. She's finishing her courses right now. She'll get her first placement soon. And we were like, okay, we can like buy you some baby stuff, but like what's a helpful thing, a helpful question maybe to ask and a helpful thing to do?
Oh, I love that question. I think there's so much beauty in just simply showing up for your friend and saying, I don't know, I haven't lived the journey that you're about to embark on, but as you have capacity to share, I want you to know that I want to know, you know, I want to be there for you. I think a lot of times there's this weird dynamic with foster care where sometimes people can feel like, well, Joy, you signed up for this. So like, it's on you, you know, and to say, yes, I raised my hand to sign up for this, but that does not mean that I'm not going to be on a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah. Right. And so I think some of the ways that we engage to be there for people that are embarking on foster care are just some of the ways that we show up for friends in the midst of a hard time. Right. I think it's just being specific with our offerings, not like, hey, let us know if we can ever help you. Like whoever follows up with that, right. It's more like, I'm bringing you dinner on Tuesday. I left a coffee on your porch. Let's go for a walk, you know?
Oh, so good.
Can I show up and help you fold your laundry? Like whatever it is, I would just say, make the ask specific. And if they don't want to receive it, that's fine. But I think just a general offering of just like, let us know, oftentimes doesn't get followed up on.
My last question, girl, is how has God carried you through the day to day? Like what has faith looked like in a day to day role of being a love stretched mom?
I feel like the journey that I've had with all of my children, my biological children, and then the three boys that came to me via foster care, I feel like it has just invited me to really press into what does it mean that God is with us. Somebody told me one time that with is like one of the most used words in the Bible. And I was like, oh my gosh, that just feels really significant. You know, that God is with us, before us and behind us. And I just take a lot of comfort in that, honestly. And one of the things that I talk about in A Love Stretch Life is trying to transform some of the mundane things like my car dashboard as I'm sitting at a red light, or like my kitchen windowsill as I'm like scrubbing the dishes or whatever, or my bathroom mirror as I'm washing my face, you know. And I try to put different like quotes and different things up to just remind me, because I feel like we're in such a fast paced, frenetic society that I just, and my life is full. There's like a lot of extra that my kids have. And so I feel like faith to me looks like being reminding myself that God is with me, and also being reminded that He is with us as I lean into other people's stories as well, of where, you know, God's showing up for them and how they're being impacted. I think especially with foster care and adoption, sometimes people can think it's like a one-way arrow of like, oh, I'm going to help and transform your life, without realizing it's a mutual arrow in both directions.
Yeah.
You know, like with any of our children, really, not just that. I mean, I think there's an extra dose of that with foster care and adoption, but I think anytime, you know, that's what parenthood invites us to, is to be mutually transformed. Because, you know, if we're in a place where we feel like I've got this thing figured out, well, it's not going to be for long, because milestones change and we change and circumstances change, you know. So there's a real humility, I think, that comes with like, oh man, for now I celebrate and I rejoice in this moment
I celebrate that, and it's going to change. And
so, I wish it didn't, but you're so right. Every time you're like, I think I've got this part, it's like different the next day. And that's how God keeps us dependent. It is really tough, girl. But thank you for your honesty.
Yeah. Well, thank you for desiring to know. And yeah, I mean, you get it. Like, even how old is your child?
He's a year and a half. He's been sick all week, girl. It's been a struggle.
That's hard. But like, even with just like the whole, I mean, I feel like regardless of what our parenthood journey looks like, right? Like, you're walking through the fact that he is now getting into everything and running away from you down the sidewalk as you're trying to drink your coffee, right?
Yeah. Tantrums.
And,
yeah.
Not sleeping and all the things that it's like, as soon as we turn a corner. So I feel like, yeah, we celebrate the stretches where it's like more known, but I feel like a lot of this is just being really humble on like how we're invited to embrace the unknown on this journey, and it's okay. We're not supposed to be experts, you know. We can just lean into the fact that we are who our children have, and they're going to teach us.
That's such a beautiful perspective. I feel like I was able to just like take a deep breath, being like, we don't have to be experts. I was like, we don't. I so needed your words today, girl. I think we're going to be transforming our windowsills, our bathroom mirrors because of you. And we're going to be asking people how we can help them differently. And I just love that you talk to us about how to go into potentially adoption, foster care, any situation, better informed and with our eyes wide open, not scared of the things that could go wrong. Because the enemy could use that, but to just be as aware as possible. That way God can like help you hit the ground running, that you're like, okay, somebody told me that this could happen. I'm ready. Let's go talk to them. Let's go. So I think you've inspired us in so many ways, girl.
Well, thank you, Joy. It was awesome to be with you.
Yeah. Her book is out now. You can get it. A Love Stretched Life. Stories of wrangling hope, embracing the unexpected, and discovering the meaning of family. She's so good. I told you, this woman just speaks truth, and she's so vulnerable. If you know someone who would enjoy this interview, make sure you send it their way. And as always, you can reach out on social media. I'm WayFM Afternoons on Facebook and Instagram, and we would love a 5-star rating, and tell us what you think.